And we're holding on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud by the two dots. The subject of this perek is the cases. The Torah tells us two cases involving relations with a Naira who's not Moirasa. If she's Moirasa, then she's already an Eishes Ish, and then there's Nisei involved when a man has relations with her other than her husband. But the Torah tells us that if she's a Naira but not Moirasa, then there's two possibilities. There's Pitui, where someone seduces her, and there's Oines, where someone rapes her. So in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us about Pitui, and tells us that if he does that, then he has two possibilities. Either he marries her and gives her a full ksuba, as though she was still a basura, or he doesn't want to marry her, or one side or the other doesn't want the marriage to happen. He has the option to refuse it, and of course so does she, and in that case then he pays a knas of the equivalent amount that he would have if she were a basura, so 200 zuz, which equals 50 shekel, which is what the Torah says. Then in Parshas Kisetze, the Torah tells us about Oines, if he rapes her, where there, he's required to marry her. She's, of course, not required to agree, as we'll see later in the parak, but if he doesn't have a choice in the matter, even if she's ugly, even if she's below his dignity, etc., he has to marry her no matter what. And he also has to pay a fine, fifty slayim. So those are the two possibilities. So our parak is talking about the details of those dinim. So now the Mishnah had told us that these dinim would apply even if the woman is someone who's usur to him as chayvik krisis. So even if, for example, she was his own sister or any of various other arayas that we learned about in Yevamos, where there's kares but not Mrs. Beiskin, still he would be required to pay the fine. So now, earlier in our sugya, the Gemara began dealing with the question. There's a Mishnah in Makos that tells us that if a person does that demazed, with such women, then he's chayev malchus. And of course, if it was consensual, then she's chayev malchus as well. The problem is, how could he be getting malchus and having to pay money? So we went through a couple of possibilities the Gemara had gone through. One is Ula had given an answer that our Mishnah is talking about when she's a Naira, and that one is talking about when she's a Begeres, beyond the stage of Naira. So then he holds, in short, that where there's both Mammon and Malchus, then he only pays the money and doesn't get Malchus. So therefore, when she's a Naira, then the fact that he has to pay the Mammon, Knas, overrides the Malchus. Only when she's a Begeres, where there's no more money, there's no more Knas, then he would get Malchus. That was one answer. Rabbi Yochanan had given a different answer, that it depends both of them are talking about which is a Naira, depends whether they gave Masra or not. So if they gave Masra, then he would get Malchus, and if not, then he's paying the money as an Or Mishnah. So now continuing on that topic, continuing with more answers about how to reconcile Or Mishnah with the Mishnah in Makos. How could it be that Or Mishnah is saying he pays the Knas, and that Mishnah is saying that he gets Malchus? So the Gemara says, Resh Lakish Omo Hamani Rav Meir. So Resh Lakish says the answer is that our Mishnah is going according to Rav Meir, the Amalokal Mashal. Now Rav Meir would in fact say that a person could get both. Till now we've been assuming that it's not possible to get both. Either a person gets Malchus or he has to pay money. It's an example of what the Gemara calls Komle B'Dirabamine, that he gets the more severe, stringent punishment. Now though, Resh Lakish is saying you don't have to say that. According to Rav Meir, he could very well be getting both. Well, the question is, if you're going to say our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, then wouldn't the same thing apply even if the woman was his own daughter, where the next Mishnah, and Daf Lamed Vav, is going to tell us that if it's his daughter, now remember, we learned in Yevamos, you have women, you have relationships for which the maximum penalty is kares, for example, a sister or an aunt or various other ones, and then you have ones where the maximum penalty is Mrs. Beiskin, for example, his daughter or various other examples that we're going to have there in the Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah, which is a continuation of ours, Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, is going to say that if the woman that he was mefata or ma'anis was his daughter, then there's no knas because then there's missing, he said. Well, if we're saying that our mission is like Reb Meir, then why would there be that distinction? According to him, on the face of it, the same way as we would say that a person could get both malchus and have to pay money, the same way there could be both misa and having to pay money. The chitamer, the mayor, loikel, mashalim, islay, mesa, mashalim, islay. Well, you're going to answer, okay, maybe not. Maybe the mayor would make a distinction between misa, that maybe the mayor would only say that a person could get malchus plus have to pay money. And therefore, in that would apply in our Mishnah if the woman was a sister, for example, but not, but mesa, mashalim, islay. But you would say that maybe he would not hold that a person could get misa and pay money. Well, the question is, v'loy, are you telling me that not? I'll show you something where the mayor seems to say that a person could actually be getting chiyuv misa as well as having to pay money. So then, if we're saying our mishnah is like the mayor, then why would there be that? Then why would he make the distinction between chiyuv ekaris and chiyuv misa based in between a sister and a daughter? And that is v'hatanya we learn in a braisa. Now we know also in Parashas Mishpatim we know the Torah tells us that if a man steals, that if a person steals something, then he's chayuv to pay kefil, he has to pay double what the value of what he stole. And the pasuk tells us that if it was a sheep or an ox and he sold it to somebody else or he shefted it, then he has to pay extra. If it was a sheep, four times as much, and if it was an ox, five times as much. So the braisa says, gonav v'tovach b'shabbos, if he stole and shefted the animal on Shabbos, whereby shefting it, shefting it is one of the 39 malachas. So therefore now he's chayav misa for Shabbos. Or gun of the tavach la'avodas kechavim, or if he stole it and shechted it in honor of avodah zarah, where also he's going to be chayav misa for worshiping avodah zarah, or gun of shor hanisko v'tvachai, or a third possibility, if he stole a shor hanisko and shechted it. Now that's different than the other ones. There's no isur misa, of course, for shechting a shor hanisko, but the point is that it doesn't have value. Shor hanisko, also for Parashat Mishpatim, we know it was a shor that killed somebody, that killed a person, where now the Torah tells us you have to take it to Beis Din and have a trial over there and give it skila, and that animal is not, that animal is also bahana, and therefore it's not worth anything. So now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, if it's not worth anything, then how can we even talk about him stealing it? We'll get back to that point later on Daf Lamed Daled. But anyway, the point is, in all these cases, so in two of these cases, there's a chiyuv misa involved. In one of them, on the face of it, the animal doesn't have any value to its owner, and nevertheless, so still, in all those cases, mishalim tashlum abav v'chamisha divrei Reb Meir. In all those cases, Reb Meir would say that he has to pay tashlum abav v'chamisha. Even though in the first two cases he's chayav misa, and even though in the third case, on the face of it, the animal isn't worth anything. Nevertheless, he still has to. Give it a mayor, but chum and patrin, and the chum say that he's potter. So we see that mayor holds that even when there's chiyuv misa, then he has to pay. So now, if we were going to say, like Ulam, like Rabbi Yochanan had said, that our Mishnah is like the Chachamim, then okay, we can answer that our Mishnah is talking about Naira, and the one that talks about in Makkos, that talks about in Gen Malkus, is a Begeres, or there was Asra, or there wasn't Asra. But if Rish Lakish is telling us our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, then according to Reb Meir, why is there a distinction between whether there's a Chi of Karis or a Chi of Mrs. Based? And on the face of it, in either case, he should have to be paid. And the Gemara answers, Ha Itmar Allah. Yeah, but there was said about that by the Amoraim that it's not so simple. Amr Rav Yaakov, Amr Rav Yechanan, Va'amila Amr Rav Yumiya, Amr Rav Shimon Lakish. That either one, so one says in the name of Rav Yechanan, the other one says in the name of Rish Lakish. Either way, they said Rav Ovin, Rav Ila, B'chol Chavurasim, Shmeid Rav Yechanan Amri, that Rav Ovin and Rav Ila and all the rest of the colleagues in the Beis Medrash all said in the name of Rav Yechanan, that the Mishnah there is that the Braisa there rather was talking about the Teveach al Yedei Acher. It's talking about where he has somebody else shech the animal for him. So Reuven stole an animal from Shimon, and then Reuven gave the animal to Levi and told him to shech it. So Levi when ended up shechting it on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah or whatever. So therefore, so Reuven's not Chayav Misa. He's not the one who he's not the one who shechted it, but he had somebody else do it. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't really need to give that answer because Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't have to. Rabbi Yochanan himself gave a different answer to reconcile our Mishnah. So he doesn't necessarily need this answer, but nevertheless, he's answering within Rish Lakish's opinion that that Reb Meir would distinguish between whether the person himself shechted the animal, where, yeah, then we would say kom lebe de rabbi minei, because he's chayav nisa, versus when he himself didn't shechted, he just delegated to somebody else to shechted. Well, the question is, so how could it be? How you're telling me that Levi is shechting the animal, and Reuven, who told him to do that, is going to be chayev the 4 or 5 times penalty? What happened to the concept of ein shliach v'dvar avera? So the answer is Amar Rava, Amar Rachmana utvachay oimachorei. The answer is that Rava says, because look at how the Torah phrases it. The Torah mentions the two possibilities together, where he shechts it or he sells it. And that means there's a hekesh between shechting and selling. Ma mechira al yidei acher, selling necessarily involves a third party. You can't sell something to yourself. So obviously then there has to be a third party, Levi, whom Reuven sold it to. The same way, af tvicha al yidei acher, the same way we would say that yes, that tvicha, he would be chayev, even though by tvicha it is possible for him to do it himself. We would say it's a gzeres hakosav, that in that case, according to the mayor, and maybe even according to the chachamim, only in this case, kam lev d'rabbi minei, are they arguing? So in this case, yes, it's true, Reuven himself didn't shecht it, but Reuven himself can't be the one who buys it either. And still we're saying that Reuven is chayev when there's a third party, so therefore he can be chayev when there's a third party who's shechting it as well. That's one way of understanding. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned a different source for it, because the pasuk says utvachay oy macharay, and the word oy teaches us l'rabas tashliach to include where a person delegated to somebody else to do the shechting. And dvei chizkiya tana tapas l'rabas tashliach. And in the yeshiva of chizkiya, they learned the third possibility, since the Torah says after it describes what he did, that he stole it or shechted it. So it said, he shechted it or stole it. It says that he should pay 5 times tachas asher, ba'arba, or 4 times tachas aseh, and the word tachas is extra, because it could have after all said, yishalim bishur, or yishalim biseh. So therefore, the word tachas comes to include also the rabbis, the shliach comes to include if a shliach shechted it for him. In any case, the point is, however we learn it, whether we learn it from the hekesh between mechira and tvicha, or whether from the word oy, or whether from the word trachas, either way, yes, if somebody else shechts it, we can still say that the ganev himself is the one who's chayev the 4 or 5 penalty. So therefore, so now the machloikas would be that a mayor would say that would apply. So the mayor would say that applies even when there is a chiyuv misa involved, as long as it's not the ganav himself who's chayuv misa, because if he was, then maybe we'd say kom lebe d'rabbi minei. So that would explain in our Mishnah where the man was ma'anes or mafata his sister who's a chiyuv kares, then the mayor is going to say that's not the maximum penalty is not misa's based, and it's only malchus. So therefore he would get Malchus as well as have to pay. But in the next Mishnah, where it's his daughter or anybody else for whom he's Chayiv Misa, then we would say that he's not Mason Mishkalim. So that would explain the difference between the two Mishnayos. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would say that in those cases, since there's a Chayiv Misa in general, then there'd be no payment of 4 or 5. Which actually we'll get back to in a couple of lines. So why would the Chachamim say, after all, there is no fear of Misa for the Ganav, but they say he's Potter, we'll get back to that in a few lines. But first, the Gemara asks, Maskifa Mazutra, so Mazutra questions that. So what are you telling me? How could you have a cake? You're telling me that if the Ganav himself were to shech this animal on Shabbos, then he would be Potter from paying because Kom Levi did have him. And because he delegated it to somebody else, you're telling me that he's chayev to pay. So how could there be a case where if he himself does something, he's not chayev, but ovet shliach mechayev or mechayev, and then if the shliach does it, then he is chayev. What's the logic? And the answer is ihu lav mishum b'lo mechayev el mishum b'kom lebe d'rabbi minei. So the answer is exactly that. It's not that he himself wouldn't be chayev. He himself would have been chayev, but kom lebe d'rabbi minei overrides that and means that he's instead subject to the more stringent penalty, which is misa. So therefore, so if there's a shliach involved, we're there. There's no kom lebe d'rabbi minei, then the chiyuv of money takes over instead. So Rashi learns that either way he would be chayev. Tosfos says that maybe we would say, when we say kum levidabamine, maybe we would say that overrides the chiyuv so completely that he wouldn't even be chayev to pay back even lotus lidya shamayim, even if, let's say, before he gets executed, he wants to do complete tshuva and actually return what he stole and pay the extra knas. Maybe even Tosfos says we would tell him he doesn't even have to do that. Whereas the point of Rashi, maybe the implication is that he at least has that chiyuv, just that he's not required to do it. Anyway. So there could be the logic that even when there's a shliach involved, we would be mechayev him, and when not, then not. Not that he's not actually chayev, but because kom lebe did adamine overrides that. Okay, so now the question becomes, well then, if there's somebody else who shechted the animal, and that other person is chayev this, and not the ganav himself, then why would the chachamim say that Reuven the ganav is potter? There's no kom lebe did adamine. And the answer is, man chachamim Reb Shimon. The answer is, the chachamim specifically is not all the chachamim, specifically the chachamim over here are following the opinion of Reb Shimon, the amma shchita shein ru'uya loishma shchita, where he says that if you shecht an animal and that shchita does not make the animal mutter to eat, then it's not considered a shchita. So Reb Shimon says that, in fact, in this din, in connection with this din about the Shlomo Abba Chamisha, he also says it, for example, in connection with the din of Kisui Adam, that if a person were to shecht an animal for example, for Avodah Zarah, where now the meat of the animal is also to eat because it was a korban to Avodah Zarah, then Reb Shimon would say that's not considered a shchita, and for example, there wouldn't be a mitzvah of Kisui Adam with it. Or for example, actually, I don't know about Kisui Adam, but actually he would say, for example, yeah, I think he would, but also, for example, let's say in the case of Oisav Es Benoi, where the Torah tells us, we know, that you're not allowed to shecht a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. So now, what if a person shechted one of them for Avodah Zarah? Then Reb Shimon would say that that's not considered a shechita, because you're not allowed to eat the meat of that animal, and then you'd be allowed, then he or somebody else would be allowed to shecht the other animal of the pair on the same day. Tosfos discusses a little bit over here about the ins and outs of that. Would the Chachamim maybe hold only in those cases, would disagree, but maybe over here they ought to agree with him because the Torah uses a different word, tvicha, instead of shchita. And Tosfos goes into a bit of discussion about that, but the point is, the Gemara is saying that only Reb Shimon would hold that's not considered a shchita. The other Chachamim who disagree with him would say that it is. Well then, the Chachamim in our Braisa over here are holding like Reb Shimon, therefore they say that's why he's potter if he shechted it for Avodah Zarah. Not because kam lebe d'rabbanine, because again, we're talking about somebody else shechted it, but because it's not considered a shchita b'chlal. Not considered a shchita, well then there's no tashlum abba b'chamisha. Okay, the question is, hotena habertis kechavim v'shara niskol. Fine, so that explains two out of the three cases. One, where he shechted in honor of Avodah Zarah, where now the meat of that is also to eat. Or where he shechted a shor haniskol, where after the verdict was given, then the animal was also b'hanah. Actually, Tosfos brings a little bit earlier that Rabbeinu Tam, in a few other places in Shas, holds that in fact the shor haniskol is not also while it's alive. It's more just that there's a mitzvah to bring it to Beis Din and have it tried and have the verdict and have the sentence carried out, but not that it's intrinsically also mechayim. But in any case, once you shecht it or once you kill it, then it's definitely also b'hanah. So then that explains it. So that would explain why, according to Reb Shimon, it's not considered a shchita, and that would explain then that the Chachamim, now who hold according to Reb Shimon, would say it's not considered a shchita, and therefore no tashlum edal behe. But you have to ask, what about the case where he shechted on Shabbos? Isn't that considered a shechita that is roy? After all, as we're going to say now, if a person shechts on Shabbos, then the meat is kosher to eat. So in that case, then why would it be shechita shein roya? So that's the question. El shechita Shabbos shechita roya. If he shechts on Shabbos, isn't that considered a shchita which is roi? The Tnan, han shechet b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, al pishim eskai b'nafshe shchitosek tshera. After all, the Mishnah says that if a person shechts on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, even though he's chayev misa, misa's based in the case of Shabbos, kores in the case of Yom Kippur, nevertheless the shchita is kosher. So in that case, the shchita ruya. So why would we be saying that if we're saying according to Rav Shimon that only when it's shchita sheni ruya would we say that it's potter? Then this isn't the shchita sheni ruya. By the way, the Ran points out. I mean, on the face of it, we know that if a mumer shechts, then his shchita is possible, and if a person breaks Shabbos the mezid, then he's a mumer. It's considered a mumer l'chol ha'terfola. So his shchita ought to be possible. So he answers, further down on the Omer, the Gemara is going to distinguish between the beginning and the end of the Shchita. So he says a similar distinction here as far as the beginning of the and the end of the Shchita, that we would say that only when he gets to the point of the Shchita, where it's actually considered a Shchita in Halacha, where he's cut through most of the pipes, only then is it considered that he's done the Malacha of Shchita, and then at that point, only at that point does he become a Mumer, but by that point, the Shchita has already been done, and therefore the animal is kosher. And so again, the question is then that's not a shchita sheni ruya. And the answer is sabalaki Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. The answer is the Tana of the Chachamim of our Braisa can hold like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who holds that in fact such things would be osur. Namely, the Tanya we learn in a Braisa. Hamavashal the Shabbos, if a person cooks on Shabbos, and we're talking about not just cooking, we mean any other kind of malacha where without that malacha the food wouldn't have been edible, which includes also shchita. So the Braisa says, b'shoigig yochal, if he did it b'shoigig, then it can be eaten even that day. But if he did it b'mezid, then he's not allowed to eat it. That day. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. So Rav Meir would say that he himself is not allowed to eat it. And so if it was b'shogeg, Rav Meir is going to say even he could eat from that meat that day. Now we're talking about obviously he still won't be able, if he cooked it, then it's already ready to eat. If we're talking about shchita, then we'd be talking about, for example, that he'd be able to eat it raw. But if it was b'mezid, then Rav Meir is going to say that Rashi learns, according to Rav Meir, it would be he's never allowed to eat it, but other people would be able to eat from it. Even though he did it b'mezid. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg ye'ochel ha'metzoy Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says, if it was b'shogeg, then it can be eaten on Matzoy Shabbos. So even if it was b'shogeg, we don't want him eating it on that day, even though it was b'shogeg, because Rabbi Yehuda says we can sin in shogeg otur mezid. Even though he did it b'shogeg, we're still going to penalize him because shogeg might be confused with mezid, and therefore we're going to say that he can't eat it. That if he did it b'mezid, then he wouldn't be able to eat it. But on Shabbos, but Matzoy Shabbos, he would be able to eat it. And b'mezid, lo yo'chal olamis, and if it was b'mezid, then it can never be eaten. Well, lo yo'chal olamis, then he can't eat it b'mezid, but if he did it b'mezid, but other people could eat it, matzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon HaSandla, ima b'shogeg yo'chal matzoy Shabbos, la'achedim b'loy loy, and then Rabbi Yechon HaSandla says, if he shecht it or cooked or whatever on Shabbos b'shogeg, then even, so he's the most stringent of all of them, he would say that the person himself cannot eat it on Shabbos at all, even though it was b'shogeg, and even on Matzoy Shabbos, he himself can't eat it, yet ochel Matzoy Shabbos la'achedim b'loy loy. Only other people could eat it Matzoy Shabbos, but not him. B'mezid lo yo'ochel lo'lamis lo'y loy v'loy la'achedim. And if he did it b'mezid, then nobody is able to eat it after Shabbos, neither he nor anybody else. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here and other places in Shas some other possibilities, and then different other Rishonim talk about the different other possibilities, different other ways of learning the Gemara about who exactly is allowed to eat it. The actual halacha. Is for the most part like Rabbi Yehuda. So what would happen is actually so Tosfos goes into some details over here about the different degrees of shogeg and mezid. The bottom line is we say that when that so you also have a machlokes between the Rashi and the Rambam on that. For example, after Shabbos, do they need to wait? The chadeshi also would though when we're saying that it could be eaten after Shabbos, would it have to be when it can be eaten after Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, would we say that that means immediately on Matzoi Shabbos, or would we have to wait B'chdei She'yosu, would we have to wait the amount of time that it would take on Matzoi Shabbos to cook or to otherwise do this malacha? The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is basically like the Rambam's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it was b'shergig, then he can eat it Matzoi Shabbos. If it was b'mezid, then other people can eat it Matzoi Shabbos, and it would be immediately. We don't have to wait b'chdei she'yosu. And it distinguishes over there in Shulchan Aruch on the basis of the Shitum Kubetzes, on the basis of various Rishonim, about a distinction between, for example, if you told a goy to do something on Shabbos, then we would say you have to wait b'chdei she'yosu, because telling a goy to do something is something that people treat more casually, and therefore the Chachamim find reason to be stringent on that. As opposed to a Jew doing malacha on Shabbos is not really a very usual thing. The Chachamim don't have to make a gzera that you shouldn't do that in the future, and therefore we can be matir it right away Matzoi Shabbos. And also, even if it was a Jew, if it was something, for example, that was begun before Shabbos and then continued on Shabbos, let's say, for example, a person put some food up without a blech, and then cooked it, then also we would say you have to wait b'chdei she'yosu for the same reason, because people treat such things casually. Anyway, the point is that we have three different opinions over here, and one of them is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler saying that if a person did a malacha on Shabbos for mezid to prepare food, then nobody is allowed to eat it. So now, so the Braisa we quoted before, talking about where the Ganav shechted the animal on Shabbos, or we said he himself didn't shecht it, somebody else shechted it, but it would be considered shchita sheni ro'uya, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, because you can't eat it. So the Gemara said, my time is the Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So why does Rabbi Yochanan Sandler say that? That if it was b'mezid, it's also to everybody. And the answer is, k'didorosh Rav Chiya pischa de b'nasiya. The answer would be like what Rav Chiya darshan in front of the house of the nasi, where the pasuk says, "Shmartim as a Shabbos ki kodesh ilachem." The pasuk says you should guard the Shabbos because it is holy to you. Now, why does it have to use the word kodesh? Ma kodesh, also ma achila. We learn from that, just like kodesh, just like kodshim, are also to eat. For example, an ola is also for everybody to eat, or hekdesh is also until you buy it back from hekdesh. Ach ma'aser Shabbos asurim ma'achila. The same way, things made on Shabbos by breaking Shabbos are also to eat. Well, the question is, ima kodesh also ba'hanah, ach ma'aser Shabbos also ba'hanah. Well, we know kodesh is not only also to eat; it's also ba'hanah. You can't sell it. You can't give it to a goy, for example. Would you say the same thing with Maisa Shabbos? And in fact, that's not so. Even Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is not saying that you have to throw away the food. He would say you could give it to a goy. You could sell it to a goy. So it's not like Kiddush. So why not? Tamadloim Lochem, because after all, the pasuk says Kodesh Yilochem, and the word Lochem means Shalachem Yehei. In a certain sense, it's considered yours. So it's kodesh that no Jew can eat it, said Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would understand, but it's yours in the sense that you could still sell it. Yochel afilu b'shergig, and then continues Rabbi Chiya, you would think that applies even if he did it b'shergig. Tamad lama machalolel, moisumas. No, because the pasuk continues that anybody who desecrates Shabbos will be put to death, and obviously that's only b'mezid, therefore b'mezid, amar to the chavol or b'shergig, therefore that applies only if it was b'mezid, not if it was b'shergig. So that is why Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would draw the distinction between b'shergig and b'mezid, and say that b'shergig, it could be eaten on Matzoi Shabbos. Just Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would say that we penalize him, and we don't allow him to eat it at all, because he, after all, did malacha on Shabbos, but other people will be able to eat it Matzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. So now Rav Acha and Ravina argue within that. Chad ama maise Shabbos d'oraisa v'chad ama d'rabban. One says that this iser of food that was prepared on Shabbos, that was cooked or whatever on Shabbos, that it should be osur, according to Rav Yechon Asandler. One says that it's d'oraisa, that it's also d'oraisa v'chad ama d'rabban, and the other one says that it's only d'rabban. The one who says Daraisa would say, because we just said, because we learned from the pasuk, ki kodesh hilochem. Manda amar d'rabbanan, the one who says it's only d'rabbanan would say, because on the contrary, amakra kodesh ki, on the contrary, because the pasuk says it is Kodesh. So the word he is a mute. He Kodesh, Vein Master Kodesh. Shabbos itself is Kodesh, but not things that were made on Shabbos would not be considered Kodesh in terms of being osur. So we would only say, we would say there may be penalties that Rabbanon involved on that. So therefore we would say that he's also to eat it if he did it. If he did it b'mezid or according to the Yehuda, even he would be allowed to eat it, but only on Mitzvah Shabbos, etc. But not that it's Zardais. Okay. So now the question is, well, within Rav Acha Ravina, according to the opinion that even Rav Yechon and Sandler is not saying that this food is also Daraisa, according to him, it's only also the Rabbanon, my time now the Rabbanon de Patri, then we have to go back to the Braisa about the Tzvicha Mechira that took place, about the Tzvicha that took place on Shabbos, where we're saying Rav Meir makes him chayev for the Tashlumei above Hamisha and the Chachamim do not. So now, if it's only also the Rabbanon, why would the Chachamim patter him? Sure, we would say if you can't eat it because of the din Rabbanon, but that wouldn't be a reason to patter him from the Chachamim wouldn't therefore be pattering him from a penalty, from a 4 or 5-fold penalty that he should be chayev daraisa, where according to that daraisa, the meat of this animal would have been mutter to eat. And the answer is, the answer is, you're right. When the Chachamim say he's potter, they're talking about only the other cases. They're talking about the case of Avodah Zarah and the case of Shur and Nisko, then they would say that he's potter. But in fact, you're right. Based on what was, according to the opinion that even Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said that the meat of the animals also only the Rabbanon, then yes, you would necessarily have to say that the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Meir that if he shechts on Shabbos, that he is in fact, or somebody else shechts on Shabbos, then he is in fact Chayek HaShlomei Dalet Behei, because the fact is there's no Chiyuv Misa. He himself didn't shecht the animal. So there's no Chom Levi D'Rabbimine, and it's a Shchita Re'uya, because on the Daraisa level it would have been valid. Which in that case, Tosfos says, you're right, then didn't really need to mention the case where he shechted on Shabbos at all. Fine. Now, getting back to the case of where he shechted for Avodah Zarah, Teveach L'Avodas Kochavim, we have to ask, when he shechted in honor of Avodah Zarah, the problem is, why is he high of the penalty? Kiven d'shochat v'kurta itzaleh, as soon as he starts shechting the animal, it becomes also as zivchei mesim, as a korban to Avodah Zarah. Idach ki katovach lav d'mori katovach, by the time he continues shechting the animal, by the time he gets to the point where it's a valid shechita, then it's not an animal that belongs to the owner anymore, because by now a person can't aser something that belongs to somebody else, but that's when there's no maisa involved. So if Shimon owns an animal and Reuven takes it and bows down to it, it doesn't become aser. But if Reuven does a maisa in the animal, such as shechting it, then sure, it becomes aser. So as soon as Reuven starts shechting the animal, it becomes aser, and by the time he reaches the point where it's considered a shechita, then it's not Shimon's anymore. So why is he chayav to pay? And the answer is, Amar Rava ba'omer gemar zvicha hu oiva. The answer is, Rava says, fine, but we're talking about where he's saying to begin with that he has intention to worship the Avodah Zarah with shchita only when he finishes the shchita. So then, while he's shechting, the animal still belongs to the owner because he hasn't yet designated it as a korban for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, he's potter from Misa until he finishes the shchita, and at that point, the chiyuv of at that point, the chi of mammon has already kicked in. Okay, the next question is, shur on nisko lav yideu. The question is, the shur on nisko doesn't actually belong to the owner either. So again, Tosfos points out earlier, according to Rabbi Natan, in fact, it does belong to the owner as long as it hasn't been shechted, but certainly as soon as it becomes shechted, as soon as it's shechted, then it's also bahano. We know that from other Gemaras, and then you have the in all those places, Rabbi Natan says that, and then Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that. Maybe in fact it is also Mikhayim. Anyway, the point is, on the face of it, it doesn't belong to the owner. So lav di dehu de katavach. So again, it's not something that belongs to the owner because it's also Bahana. And the answer is Omar Rabba, Hochab Mayaskinen, Kaganshu Mustra the Shoim. Now, in fact, before we get to the answer, actually, the truth is there is a machloikas we showed him on the question, when something is also Bahana, can we say that it no longer belongs to the owner, or can we say that not? There is a machloikas we showed him on that point. There are we showed him who learn that even though something is also Bahana, we can still say it's owned by the original owner, So then they would have to understand our Gemara over here that still it's not a complete ownership because after all, he doesn't have the rights to use it. So therefore, in that sense, it's not fully considered his anymore. If we say that something that's also Bahana is no longer considered his, well then our Gemara reads more straightforwardly. Anyway, so Omar Rabba, Hochab, Maya Skinem, the answer is, we're talking about over here, we have to figure out what's the case where he shechted the Sharan Nisto, Kuvenshim Masre the Shomer. Suppose that the owner gave the animal to a Shomer to watch, the Hizik Bevei Shomer, while the Shomer had it in his possession, it caused damage, it killed somebody, it gored somebody and killed him, the Nigma Dine Bevei Shomer, then while it was in the Shomer's house, under the Shomer's responsibility, they brought it to Beis Din and tried it and decided that it is a Sharan Nisto and it is Chayav Nisa. The Nigma Dinim Beis Shomer, the Gonvei Ganim Beis Shomer. Now the Ganim stole it from the Shomer's house, and now the question becomes, what's the Chiyuv of the Ganim? Rav Meir, Savalak Rav Yaakov, the Savalak Rav Shimon. So we can say that a mayor, when he says the person is potter from paying, holds in a certain din, like Rabbi Yaakov, in a certain relevant din over here, holds like Rabbi Yaakov, and in another relevant din, holds like Rabbi Shimon, and by putting all that together, it would result in saying that he's potter. Namely, Rabbi Yaakov, the Amma Achmish and Nigma Dine Hachzira Shem Lebail of Mitzer, Rabbi Yaakov holds now. So let's say, for example, let's forget about the case for a second where somebody stole it. Suppose you have the regular case where a person owns an ox, he gave it to a shomer, it gored while it was in the shomer's possession, it was nigma dinoi, and now the shomer wants to return it. Is that considered returning it? Can the owner say, one second, I gave you an ox that's mutar b'hana, and you're returning me an ox that's also b'hana, that's no good, give me the value of it. Or can he say, an ox is an ox? Rabbi Yaakov says he could. Rabbi Yaakov says that an ox is an ox. You gave me an ox, I'm returning you an ox. I, the din of the ox, changed in between. Not my problem. So Rabbi Meir would hold like Rabbi Yaakov, and therefore would say that the ox is still considered the owner's. Also, the mayor would then hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you have something which it itself doesn't belong to you, but the result of your semi-ownership of it is mamon, then he would say it's considered mamon. So namely, for example, let's say, going back to this case of Tashlumah Abav HaMisha, what if the animal was an animal of hektish? Or specifically, what if it was what's called kodshu shachaya bachri your son, namely, where the person was makdish, where he's makdish the animal, and in a way where he's chayev if the animal gets lost or stolen or what have you. He said a neder, for example. He said harei alai ola, I am obligated to bring an ola or what have you. And where the din is that if the animal that then he designates to fulfill that neder is lost or stolen or becomes a baal mum or what have you, then he has to bring a different one instead. So now the animal itself doesn't belong to him because it's kodshim, because he said it's going to be an ola. On the other hand, he's chayev bachri your son. So therefore, that's gurum lamamun. So it causes a chiyuv mamun, and Rav Shimon would hold such a thing as considered mamun, and therefore the tashlum abav hamisha would apply. So now, putting that all together, then we would say that even though the Sharan Nisko itself is not considered, is not worth anything because it has to be stone and it's also Bahana, nevertheless, we would still say that it's considered like Mammon, because again, the Shomer would have to return the animal itself or the value of it. So therefore, it's going on Mammon. So now we can say that Reb Meir holds like all of that, and that is why Reb Meir would say that he still has to pay the Tashlama above Hamisha even though it was a Sharan Nisko. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would be disagreeing on one or another of those points, and therefore they would say that he's potter. Actually, Tosfos brings up a point that Reb Meir himself holds of a concept called Dina de Gauni, which is that if you indirectly cause somebody a hezek, then Reb Meir often makes you chayev to pay. So why do we even need Dovah Agur in the moment over here? And Tosfos distinguishes between different kinds of Dovah Agur Lamam. One possibility Tosfos says actually is that a mayor would be Mechayev, you only did a banan, and here we're talking on a Daraisa level. there is the Ramban in particular wrote a whole kuntres called kuntres Dina Degarmi, dealing with in great detail this whole matter of Dina Degarmi versus Groma and when a person is chayev and when he's potter and so forth. So not necessarily would Dina Degarmi apply in this case. So again, Tosfos distinguishes between different kinds of garmi. Of one possibility is that there's difference between different kinds of garmi, where, for example, Rav Meir would be mechayev dina de garmi in a case where anybody could have hanah from it, whereas over here, the only one who the shor haniskal is worth anything to is the shomer, that he's able to return the shor haniskal and be potter from paying, but it's not roi for anybody else. So when we say gavra agom l'momen k'momen dummy, then we'd have to bring in that opinion of Rav Shimon in order to make this work. Anyway, so all of that is one way of explaining that we're talking about over here, why Rav Meir would be mechayev of him, because we're talking about it's a matter of Dovr HaGerim L'mom. Rabba Omar, Rabba gives, so now, let's go back. We said before, we started by asking the question, why does Rav Meir say that he's chayev in the case where he shechted for Avodah Zarah, or what have you, where he would be chayiv misa, and we answered that he didn't shecht it himself; he had somebody else do it. So now, going back to another answer on that point, Rabba says we can in fact be talking about where he himself shechted it. So then the question is, in that case, then he's chayiv misa. So why would Rav Meir say that he's chayiv to pay? Rav Meir loyko mashalim isle mesa mashalim lesle. The answer is, like we said earlier in the sugya, Rav Meir would say. That Rav Meir would say that usually a person can only get malchus as well as pay. Usually Rav Meir would say that a person can't get misa as well as have to pay. The shiny honey, but it's different in these cases. The chidush or shechid shetorah beknas, because after all, we would say there's a chidush that the Torah says as far as this knas, the whole matter of knas, the whole concept that you should have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount that a person stole, itself is a chidush. So therefore, the mayor can say that there's a chidush over here. So therefore, we can say a further chidush in it, afagav niktu mashalim, where even though he's being executed for shechting Avodah Zarah, or shechting on Shabbos, still he would have to pay. So therefore, we could answer that. We don't have to say anymore, says Rabba, that he had somebody else shecht the animal, and therefore there's no kum limited abimineh. We could say that Rav Meir does not hold kum limited abimineh when it comes to knas. And the Gemara says, "Va'azda Rabba l'taymei." In fact, Rabba goes according to his own svara. D'amar Rabba, "Hoyeg di gonuvloi." If a person had a kid goat stolen from him, where that's included in what the Torah says that you have to pay 4 times as much. The tovche b'shabbos and the ganav shechted it. So if the animal was stolen on a weekday, so now the ganav became chayev. In the keren, and actually in the tashlumei kefil, already on the weekday, and then tovche the Shabbos, and then he shechted the animal on Shabbos, chayev, then he would be chayev the full 4 and 5, shekvan is chayev, b'gneva, kodim shirava, the day isur Shabbos, because he already became chayev in the isur of gneva, and in the penalty for gneva, before he ever reached isur Shabbos, so therefore, so Rabba would say now, Rabba holds like Rav Meir, that even though he's shechted on Shabbos, he's still chayev, and therefore we would say that he's chayev because the original isser was the original isser gneva was done on weekday. On the other hand, Rabba continues, gun of the tovach b'Shabbos potter. But if he did everything on Shabbos, if he stole the animal and shechted it on Shabbos, so then the moment that he became chayev in the moment, he also became chayev in the isser Shabbos. Now earlier in the perek that talks about the various possibilities. Usually, as soon as he picks up the animal, he's chayiv in Gneva, and Shabbos, he'd only be chayiv in as soon as he brings it out to Rishos Rabim. But the Gemara discussed various possibilities, how we could get around that, one of them being that, for example, he dragged it out, so there was no Akira v'Hanacha, so therefore, the moment he takes it out to Rishos Rabim is the same moment where he becomes chayiv in Isur Gneva. So then we would say, so if he did all that on Shabbos, Potter, then Rabba would say that even Rav Meir would say he's Potter, she'inen gneva in tvicha ve'in mechira. Because without the chiyuv of gneva, without being chayiv nisa, without being chayiv the keren, without being chayiv to pay for the gneva, he can't be chayiv for the tvicha and the mechira, because after all, the Torah tells us you have to pay 4 and 5. If you were to say that he's chayiv only the extra payment for shechting and not the initial payment for the actual theft, then you would say he's not paying 4 or 5, then he's paying 3 or 4 times as much, and he can't have that. So therefore, so Rashi points out that you could say, for example, that he actually picked up the animal, and we would say, we don't say chai no se asasme, we would say that that he picks it up, then it's considered carrying on Shabbos, or for example, the animal is tied up, whatever the case, the point is, if when he becomes chayev in the Issur Gneiva, at that moment he's also chayev in Issur Shabbos and becomes chayev in Issa, then we would say that he's potter from payment because kom libe d'rabbeinu. But if he already stole earlier and then only the shechita took place on Shabbos, then Rav Meir would be mechayev. And Tosfos points out Rabba himself doesn't necessarily agree with Rav Meir, but he's explaining Rav Meir's shechita. And the Omer Rabba, Rabba says, here's another din in this connection. Now let's talk about on a weekday. Now, so far we've been talking about Shabbos, where a person is chayev for carrying out on Shabbos, and a person is chayev for shechting, is chayev misa for shechting on Shabbos. We know that there's another case of a ganav where there's a chayev misa. Namely, the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, im b'machteres yimotzei ganav, if a ganav is tunneling into a house, then if the owner of the house finds him over there, then ein loy domim, then if he kills him, it's not considered that he spilled blood, because the person, the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, when a ganav comes breaking in or tunneling into a house like that, he knows there's a good chance that the owner is going to stand up against him, and he's ready to defend himself, even if it means killing the balabas. So therefore, the Torah tells us if somebody is coming to kill you, then you go and kill him first. So now Rabba says he was a din in that connection. Suppose that previously the ganav stole the animal, not in a way of machteres, not in a way where the owner could kill him. The tovche b'machteres, and now he's shechted it in the machteres, so he's breaking into the house again, and he's shechting the animal right there in the machteres. Chayev, then he would be chayev to pay the four or five times, shekvar nischayev b'gneva, kodim shiyavu b'dei isa machteres, for the same reason, because he was already chayev for the gneva before he ever came to the machteres, so by the time we come to the machteres, where he's chayev misa, then he's already chayev in the gneva, and therefore the tzvicha and mechira can go along with. On the other hand, gonav v'tovach machteres, but if everything took place in the machteres, he stole the animal and he shechted it all there in the machteres, then Rabba says potter, then he would be potter from the payment at all, for the same reason, because he can't be mechayev him for the shechting or the selling without being mechayev him for the gneva, because again, the Torah tells us four or five, and within that four or five is the keren that he has to pay for the actual theft. And the actual theft himself was saying he'd be potter because kam lebe d'rabbeinu, because at the moment he became chayiv in the theft, he also became chayiv misa for Shabbos. Now, why did Rabbi have to tell us two dinim? That seemed to be the same thing. The Gemara says, it's tricha. Rabbi needed to tell us both dinim. The Yashmin and Shabbos, because if he only told us the case where he shechted or where he stole and shechted on Shabbos, you would say the difference is mishum b'isura iso olam. Because after all, any time, forever after, where they come to Beis Din and testify that he did this on Shabbos, then he's going to be chayav misa. So it's an ongoing thing. Avo machteres, the isur shahu, but when it comes to machteres, it's only on the spot. Only if the balabas finds him on the spot in the machteres that he can kill him. Once the guy has left the machteres, then he's not chayav misa anymore. So you could argue that maybe the din is different. Maybe it's more lenient. Maybe you would think the din doesn't apply and he's chayev to pay regardless. The Iyashmin and Machteres, on the other hand, if Rabba told us the din only in connection with Machteres, you would say, you know why he's chayev? In the case of Machteres, Mishum de Machtauto Zuhi Hasra also. Because you don't need any Hasra. When you find a ganav in a Machteres, you don't need to first give him Hasra, get out of here or I'm going to kill you. On the spot, the balabas is allowed to kill him. Avol Shabbos de Boy Asra, but when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, after all, you need Asra in order to execute him. So Ema Lois, you would think maybe not. Maybe the fact that he needs Asra means therefore that maybe therefore it's more lenient than Namachteres. Suricha, and therefore Rabba had to tell us, both do. So either way, Rabba is saying if the chiyuv of Mammon comes at the same time as the chiyuv of Misa, then he's Potter. But if they came separately, if the first chiyuv of Mammon for the Gneva came before there was ever an Isra Misa, before Shabbos or before the Machteres, then even though the Tvicha itself happened on Shabbos or happened in the Machteres, then he'd still be Chayev for the full four or five times. Again, this is going according to the mayor before who says that he's Chayev, and then Chachamim, we said, on various grounds, would say he's potter. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Amar Papa, hoisa pora gnuvaloi v'tovcha b'Shabbos. If a person had a cow that was stolen from him, and the ganav shechted the animal on Shabbos, chayev, then the ganav is going to be chayev to pay the five times. For the same reason, Shekhranis Chayev, the Gneva, Kodim Shiyava, the day Isra Shabbos, for the same reason, because he already had the Chiyuv of Gneva before he ever came to the Isra Shabbos. Hoy Sephora Sha'ulaloi, on the other hand, if he had borrowed the cow, the Tavcha B'Shabbos, and then he, the borrower himself, shechted the animal on Shabbos, Potter, then he would be Potter, because the difference is that then he had it in his possession. At the time, he was validly allowed to have it in his possession. He had borrowed it, but he's not allowed to sheft it. So the moment that he shefts it, then you have, then at that same moment, you have Misa and Mammon, Boin Ka'echad, the Chiyuv of having to repay the owner for it, and the Chiyuv Misa for Shabbos come at the same time, because after all, because it was on Shabbos. Rashi points out, by the way, that here, that we can't say, like we said before, Imein Gneva Ein Tvicha Vein Mechira, because Rashi points out by a shoyl, you don't really have the concept of kafel or abav hamisha. I mean, he's always a shoyl is always chayev to pay back whatever he borrowed, even if there was an onus. He always has to pay that amount. The knas would only be if he falsely claims that it was stolen, and we're not talking about that over here. On the other hand, it brings over here, and I go to Yunim that there is a way that we can be goyis it, because after all, the fact is that if he does on Erev Shabbos he hadn't yet stolen it, and only on Shabbos does he steal it by shefting it, and therefore maybe we could say that he would be chayev in the four or five times, but again, because it's Shabbos, he'd be potter. So omelet of Achabred, the Ravalet of Ashi, the Papa Para, also Ashminan. What is Rapapa's Chiddush? Rabba told us the same din in the case of a Gdi, a young sheep or a young goat. Rapapa is telling us the same thing as far as a cow. What does Rapapa have to tell us that the same din applies to a different animal? We know that. And the answer is omelet Rapapa Sha'ula, also Ashminan. No, the Chiddush, says Rav Ashi, that Rapapa wants to tell us is the case of Sha'ula, which Rabba hadn't mentioned, the case where he borrowed the animal. Sakad and Chamina, without the Papa having told us, you would think, Hoyov Omer a Papa Meshach Meshicho Udi Ischaev Levim Zeneseah. After all, a Papa himself said that when does the Shoyo become Chayev to feed the animal? As soon as he does Meshicha on it, which brings it into his Rishus. So Hochanami Meshach Sheela Ischaev Ba'inseah. So you would think by the same token, we would say that as soon as he borrowed it right away, he has a Chiyuv Keren on it. And therefore, we can say that he's already chayev mammon before Shabbos ever came, before he ever shechted it. Kamash Malan, then therefore, that's why the Papa is telling us that no, the fact is, as long as the animal itself is still alive, and he has to return the actual animal itself, so therefore we can't say that the chiyuv keren really kicks in. The chiyuv where he has to repay the value of the animal doesn't really kick in until he actually steals it and shechts it. And when is that taking place? On Shabbos, and therefore he's potter on the grounds of Kom Levedirah. So that's Rav Papa's finish. And by the way, the Gemara tells us Amar Rava. So in this connection, Rava says another din that comes out from what Rav Papa said. He niach lahen abiyan parashu'ula. Suppose that you have Yisroimim, who their father left them a cow that he had borrowed. So Reuben borrowed a cow from Shimon. Reuben passed away. Now his Yoshim have the cow. Nishtamshin b'koyimei she'elasa. Then they're still allowed to continue using it until the original time of the she'ela is over. So Reuben had borrowed the cow for 30 days. He passed away during the 30 days. His heirs are still allowed to continue using the cow for the rest of the 30 days. Mesa in Chayavin Ba'insa, on the other hand, if the animal dies, then they're not Chayav in the Oynes because the Shoyal himself is Chayav for anything including Oynes because he has the Hanah from the animal, but they themselves didn't take that responsibility. Therefore, even though they're allowed to use it, they're not Chayav for the Oynes. Tosfos points out they would be Chayav Bignev of Aveda because after all, they do have a certain degree of Hanah, but since they're not the original borrowers, then they would be Chayav for Oinsin, such as the death of the animal. And Rava continues, Kisvurin Shalabiyami, what if they mistakenly thought that this animal belonged to their father, the Tavchua Vachlua, so they shechted it and they ate it, then we do make them pay Meshalman Dmei Bosa Bezoil. They do have to pay, but only the cheaper price of meat, which in other places, it explains that it means two-thirds of the value. So in other words, so they shechted this animal, so we're going to figure out the value of the meat. Two-thirds of that is what they're going to have to pay. The logic being, Mephoshim explained, a person might, they might have said, listen, if we had known this wasn't our father's animal, we wouldn't have shechted it. On the other hand, we tell them, yeah, but if let's say you found meat in the store at a discount at two-thirds of the usual price, you would buy it even if you weren't regularly going to eat meat, so therefore we can put you on the hook for that. And continues Rava, another din, Hiniyach lehem aviyam achrayus nechasim. What if their father left them achrayus nechasim, on which there is achrayus, namely karka, where when it comes to metalkalim, there's no achrayus because you sell them and then they're out of the picture. But on the other hand, when it comes to karka, there's always achrayus because even if they sold it to somebody else, then the one they owe money to can expropriate that property from the one they sold it to. So then, Chayavim l'shalim, then they're chayav pay. Now, what part does that last statement refer to? Ika demasni la'areisha, the ika demasni la'aseifa. Some say that achrayus nechasim part refers to the reisha. So we would say, in other words, they are in fact chayav in oinsin. So we would actually make them pay for the oinus, for the death of the animal. So the ikudamasni la sefer, others say that last statement refers to the sefer. Mandamasni la reisha, if we say it refers to the reisha, kol shekena sefer. How much more so in the sefer, where they shechted the animal, thinking that it was their father's, we're then all the more so, because of zachrayus nefasim, we're going to make them pay. Man upligad rapapa, and according to that, we would say that the whole statement disagrees with rapapa. So the papa would say, as we said before, that only when the onus happens, for example, and so when the animal dies, or we said earlier, when he himself shechts it, only then does the chiyuv mamon kick in, not from the time they borrowed it. Well, then we would say, if we say now that we make the yesomim pay for the onus of the animal, then we would say that disagrees with Rapapa. Whereas if we say the part about achrayus nechasim refers to the sefer, only the case where they shechted the animal thinking it was their father's, then we would say they don't just pay two-thirds, then they pay the full amount because they should have been more careful, then we would say that refers only to the sefer, but the reisha avala reisha loy, but not to the reisha, we wouldn't require them to pay. Because, in other words, we wouldn't say there's a shibud on the father's property from when he borrowed it. And in that case, behind the Rapapa, then in that case, that fits exactly with what Rapapa says, that we would say that the chiyuv of mammon doesn't kick in when he borrowed it, only when the onus happened to the animal, or Rapapa had talked about before when he himself shechted the animal. Which the halacha usually in the Gemara, when we have two lashonas, the halacha is usually like the second one, and that's what it is over here. So we would say that the children are allowed to use it until the end of the term of the Sheva, and if it dies, they're not chayiv in the onsin of it, even if they have karka that their father left them. On the other hand, if they shechted it, that's when we would make the distinction. If you didn't leave them karka, then they're paying two-thirds, and if you left them karka, then they're paying the full value of it. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with dealing with the continuing on this topic of understanding the again, we had Reb Meir telling us, we had Reb Meir and the Chachamim arguing about if he shechted the animal, if he stole and shechted the animal on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah or whatever. So we had Reb Yochanan saying that he had somebody else shechted it. And Rish Lakish said that, and Rabba rather saying that he himself, we're actually going to go back to tomorrow to why it is that we have different understandings of how we reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Matthas, where again we said in our Mishnah he's paying a knas for the pitori or the onus of his sister, whereas in the Mishnah in Matthas it says that he's getting malchus for having relations with her. So we had a couple of different answers, and we'll deal with tomorrow why we need all those different answers and why the different amiroyim hold differently about that.